All right, you guys, our next speaker is Val. He's going to talk to us about Eleanor. When did you calm down? Val will start talking.
Hello. Hi, I'm Val. I've been coming, when we talk about like anniversary dates and such, I've come kind of on and off to Al-Anon since the early 2000s. Really, I look at about 2017 as the time that I really embraced the program. But so a little bit about me and how I got here and kind of where the program has taken me. So, I think my qualifications for being in this room really started 62 years old, about 58 years ago, right? It was really kind of my upbringing, right? I sit in the rooms and the environment that I lived in, there was no active alcoholism in my household that I saw. If there was, it wasn't like craziness, but as far as drinking. But, I lived in a household. My mom was a single mother of four, divorced, living in the projects. Learned very much later on what a crazy life she had had from her parents. And so, the environment that I grew up in, molded me to the kind of things that I thought were important, that were right, that I learned to do to cope. And some of those things, it was a very, very abusive household, a really fearful household. We were the crazy house. You didn't invite people over to our house because you just didn't know if you were going to get slapped around or they were gonna get, it just was one of those things. So as I grew up, I learned some things that I took forward with me as coping skills. And some of those was you avoid conflict. You don't put yourself out there, because if you do those kind of things, you're not sure what'll happen if that's the case. I also learned, my mom, and we've long reconciled, she's passed now, but it was her way of trying to make us, she loved us, right? It was her way of trying to raise kids as she understood it. Part of that also was, she actually got all four of us 8 years of private school, on scholarship, right? Again, my mom was a mama bear and very protective and very, doing that stuff. But what that did for me is it put me as someone that was very poor in an environment with a lot of kids that weren't very poor, right? So as I was growing up, I kind of, molded myself as this person that I need to fit in, right? I want to be cool with the rest of the folks, even though I didn't really have a lot of that stuff. So what I learned, and I learned this in coming through the program, as I looked back and did a four-step and tried to understand kind of where I was, but that kind of molded me to who I was as I grew older. And what that meant was I was very much, again, a people pleaser, a codependent, somebody that wanted to get along, didn't want to really create a lot of rocking of boats and such like that. So that was a piece of me as I grew up that I learned only by coming to the program, and as I started searching for where am I at, what am I doing, what do I want to learn or relearn or unlearn, and then the other thing that my childhood really that I took with me, that again the things I had to kind of unlearn or change, was I didn't have a dad, right? My dad died when I was very young. I had some brothers, but we really didn't. Our siblings didn't get along. I know there's some families where there's a lot of abuse and it creates a really tight bond with the siblings. Ours, it was kind of an every man for himself, right? And so I didn't have a lot of guidance growing up. And I was the youngest, right? And learning socially how to deal with, whether it's girls or whatever it might have been. So I got my training in that respect from friends, and more importantly, probably friends, older brothers. So, so as I grew and got into adulthood, part of my world was, I don't want to be poor. I, I want to make money, I want the white picket fence, and I want to lay as many chicks as I can, right? That was kind of my what was important to me at the time. And so, when I got into a relationship, and I say relationship, when I got, I guess, in a relationship with alcoholism, right? I met this really hot chick, right? And so for me, that's okay. I don't really care anything else, right? That's kind of the top tier status of what I need to do. But I met what became my wife of 35 years when I was young. And at the time, I didn't know anything about alcoholism at all. We all sat around and we drank, beer every night and we partied. We were in our early 20s. That's what you did, right? And so we ended up, moving in together and living together. But even from early on, from just a relationship point of view, what I did is I brought those traits with me, right? My spouse was affected by the disease of alcoholism, from an early age. I do believe in this, so said yesterday, generational piece of this, right? She got dealt a real shit set of cards in regards to her family environment and a lot that she brought. And so for me, I've got this environment where I'm with this hot lady, and I'm working, I'm starting to make money, and I kind of had this hero complex, right? Some of us in Al-Anon have that, like, okay, I'm going to be here and I'm going to take care of this girl, and she's hot, she's going to love me, we're going to have kids, and we're going to have a white picket fence, and God, I had the book already written, right? And as time went on, drinking and I got into my own share of trouble over time, a few stints in jail, not just from doing stupid stuff, but kind of got to that point where I'm like 20, we're having a kid now and getting older, and it's like, okay, gotta settle down, and maybe we back off from a half rack of beer every night, and we kind of get things in, that didn't work, and it really didn't work when I said something about it, right? It was like, ooh, maybe we should, ooh. And again, conflict avoider, people pleaser, you have someone who's, different temperament, different, and so I do what I did for many years, which was to back off, right? And go along, get along, and do my thing. And so, from a state, if I look at stages in my life, I've got this kind of how I became some of the, who I am inside and things I learned and need to either, relearn or change. Then I had this active alcoholic, addiction phase of my life, right? So, we're raising this family, and life is, and I'm working, we're young, now we got two kids, the drinking continues, and part of it is not so much the drinking, but just, some of the things that come along with it. So, I look back and said, God, sometimes it's, I wish I would have known some of the things I know now, 40 years ago. But again, I used to say, if I was to write a book about all the things not to do and try, in dealing with this, I did it, right? And there's a thing that we have in Al-Anon where it talks about, you didn't cause it, can't control it, you can't cure it. I did not get that memo because I tried to do all of those things, right? I first was like, oh, must be me, right? If I just did this differently, if I did this better, right? And there's that interaction, right, that you have, I think, with addicts. I also have an adult son who's an addict, and that ability to look up, must be me, it must be me, because that's how I was raised, right? Okay, there must be something, self-esteem is low. So I did a lot of that, and I played a lot of whack-a-mole for a long time, and it never worked, right? And so then I moved to the, okay, I'll control this thing, right? Yeah. You can imagine how that worked, the hiding, or looking for her stuff, or, calling her out, right? I was, and I look back on it, and it really, it's one of those things that it pains me, because I know it pained her, but, of look what you're doing to the family, right? So I did all of the things that as we say, it didn't fix it, it actually contributed to make it worse. And then ultimately, we ended up going to a counselor. We started doing some counseling, and one of the counselors said, well, this is never gonna get addressed, your marital problems, until you address the drinking. And for me, that was like, yeah, okay, let's not, you just get this done, and we're, you know, life is great. So that, you know, on one hand it was a fair statement. On the other hand, it didn't, you know, for me, it wasn't. So there was, you know, just numerous. So my goal at that point was, all right, you got to get treatment. You know, it's all about the treatment, and didn't really work on myself at all. Didn't know I needed to work on myself at all. The treatment centers told me that I was a codependent. And I says, what's that? And you know, and I didn't see anything wrong. That I'm just trying to, you know, make things better. And I didn't have many boundaries. I was an enabler to the core. My wife was in her, it was probably second or, it was in one of the treatment centers, and she of course called on, I need to get out of here, I don't really need this. And the doctors are like, it's against medical advice, she should stay. And what does Val do? The one who wants, you know, goes and picks her up and brings her home, right? So I, during all of this chaos of active addiction, I was right there in the thick of it. Not only, you know, trying, you know, contribute, quite frankly, to the chaos, and you know, three kids at home as well. So there was, you know, we made it on through that part, and it wasn't until it was early 2000 that on her own, my spouse hit her own bottom, decided she didn't want to do this anymore, hit AA, and did it with a vengeance. And it was, you know, and just, you know, 90 meetings, 90 days, a lot of activity. And again, for me, not knowing anything about it, you know, it's like, okay, yay, I won. Life will now, I'll get the picket fence, right? Everything will be perfect, right? And yeah, that didn't happen. Certainly part of what I didn't know also is, you know, during this whole process of how I had become so enmeshed, how I had changed, and again, kind of my part in this whole thing. And so, she became very heavily involved, and it wasn't until, you know, when shit didn't get better, it's like, this sucks, I'm going to go to Al-Anon, right? And it wasn't, you know, my going to Al-Anon was really kind of a, you know, I just, it was frustration, right? And again, this was probably early 2000s. And I would go on and off at different times, mainly when things weren't going well, right? I was a very, I used to call myself a fair weather Al-Anoner, right? And I would, it wasn't part of my lifestyle or my program or something I went to try to deal with. And I did pick up things, but I really didn't embrace the program. I didn't get a sponsor. I did, you know, a little bit, you know, I would call some, you know, but didn't really work the steps hard. I would go to some meetings, I would do some stuff. So I had a spouse that was working this program very, very hard. And I travel a lot, so I'm gone a lot, so she's doing a lot of that for many years. Had sponsees herself. And so worked the program for a long time. But I could say in many ways, you know, she was much healthier than I. She was working through this, and I was just kind of doing my own thing. The craziness had kind of abated some because, you know, the drinking was gone, but there were still a lot of relationship problems, right, that we just never dealt with, you know, because as when we first got together, there just wasn't that foundation that we had. But so as we move along and where I get into Al-Anon, so it's 2010, I lose track of time, a little date sometimes, but my wife left me, right? She is just like, she's in Al-Anon, she's in AA, she likes that lifestyle, she met somebody there, and so it was like, wow, you know, 50-year-old guy, and what are we going to do here? And I still didn't quite get into the program with both feet. As those of you that know Soren, he likes to say, you know, it's a safe place for slow learners. So I'm part. I'm part of that class. Anyway, so we had separated. And during this time too, I've also got, you know, I was, you know, with the craziness and the addiction and alcoholism in our household, you know, the kids were affected by it. So I have my middle boy, began struggling with drinking and drugs since middle school. So he at this time was on the streets and also struggling with it. And so anyway, life was kind of shit at that point, right? And it's like, so I'll go forward a little bit. Several years later, we both went our ways and we both went to my daughter's college graduation and we got back together. But this time, you know, we were both, I think, in a different spot, and we were able to, you know, so we got back together, and we actually had probably the next 3 years, were probably the best 3 years that we had in this relationship. You know, I was able to look back and see, again, when I talk about this cause and cure and how I contributed, right, I had been able to reflect on a lot of the things I did before, and so I wanted to do things differently. And I think her as well. So, you know, it would be nice if, you know, that was the all ended happily ever after part of the story, right? But it's not. Because after about 3 years and about 17 years of sobriety, my spouse relapsed. And it was really out of the blue. It was like, wow. And that's when at that point I said, all right, this is 2.0. I've done this before. I know how not to do it. I'm going to do it different this time. So I really jumped into the program because I didn't want to do it the same. I didn't want to be the same person. But I also didn't want to live. I know what it's like. I also didn't want to live with an active addict. I just didn't. I didn't want that world anymore. So I really jumped into the program. That's why I say 2017 is when I started coming back. I actually got a sponsor, started doing the steps, started working it. And again, at the same time, you know, my middle boy was also struggling mightily. Really, you know, hard drugs. You know, and it's interesting with him. It's like, you know, I used to think, okay, when are they going to hit their bottom? Okay, when he gets to jail, that's the bottom. Okay, when he gets shot at, that's the bottom. When he gets run over. I had to stop thinking about what, it's like, I don't want to think of what the bottom is. If he hasn't hit a bottom, the bottom is death, potentially, right? And so, the program, you know, as much as it was for figuring out how to live with my spouse, and my spouse did not want to go back into AA, even though she'd done it for years. She just didn't want, and so, you know, I had, you know, okay, how do I want to deal with this? And live my life, and then I had this my son who, at any day, I was worried about getting a call that, you know, because I would get calls when he was high or when he got arrested or he was in the emergency room, you know, multiple Narcan saviors on the street kind of thing, and so I really needed this program because if I was worrying every day about him, you know, I wouldn't get anything done. And so I had to give it up. And so by jumping back in, you know, that's one of the big things. I was, you know, I mentioned my mom got us this, you know, scholarship to this private school. It was Catholic. So I got Catholicism, and I'll say it for me, I kind of felt like it was shoved on me, right? And so as I got older, you know, I was resentful of that. Religion, I confused religion with spirituality. So God, don't tell me about this, you know, this God thing. And so I had a hard time with the whole idea of the higher power and how to, you know, but, you know, again, and coming back in, and part of it is, you know, I don't say I was desperate. It's just like, okay, I'm not going to do the same thing. And part of that was believing in, and what really helped me was not so the higher power, but when I heard a power greater than ourselves, because that could be anything, right? It could be a guy I'm talking to in a room. It could be somebody that's speaking. It could be a thought that comes in my head. But I was able to disassociate this God that I had to learn when I was a kid, that is this omnipotent, I have to pray to you and you will make something happen, to just, there is a better way, you know, call it karma, call it whatever you may want. And so you know, on one hand, my life was going to shit. My spouse had relapsed. My son was on the streets. And thank God for the program, because it got me through being able to deal on a daily basis with my son, who I was scared but knew I couldn't do anything about. And the big thing I did there was I just let him know I loved him. I learned not to enable, right? But that didn't mean I couldn't let him know. Because one thing I did want to do is if he ever got to the point where he was ready to come back or needed some help, right? I didn't want to be that dad that I'm going to go to my dad because he's the one that's been making me feel like shit about this. So that's been the story of the last 7 years of really getting reimmersed back into this program so I could be show up differently for both my son and my spouse. Now, again, I'd love to, part of what I thought the goal of Al-Anon was, or what I thought part of my job was, to save my relationship, save my marriage, right? Got to stay married, raised Catholic, still have that thing in there, we're together all this time. I was the only one in my family still married, although it's, if you looked at it, it was a crazy marriage. Ultimately, what I ended up doing was, through the program, I ended up having to make a decision where I left the marriage, right? Part of, I think, what's important with Al-Anon, and for me, was really being able to, one, look at, okay, what is it I need to do? What's right for me? And then how do I go about doing that? And it took me several years to be able to go through that process. And so on one hand, I can at times look, okay, I'm a failure. I didn't figure out how to make all this work because there's so many people within the program that are able to utilize the tools of the program and make the marriage work. In my case, I couldn't do it. But, again, because of the program, I don't look at it as a failure. For me, it's something where I'm able to use that. And I was able to go through this process and do it with, in my view, with grace and compassion. I've learned now compassion for the alcoholic. I didn't have that for the first 20 years. I didn't have it. And so at this point in my life, I'm now divorced from my wife. I feel like I have a pretty good life. My son, on his own, about 3.5 years ago, had enough, whatever that bottom was, I don't know. It wasn't something getting shot at, but he stopped. And he's been living a very responsible, and he's got a 7-year-old son, and doing real well. So, I am so grateful, for this program. I look back and say, God, I wish I would have had this program 40 years ago. But I also know, without going through the things I've been through, there's a reason for all of this happening. So, for me, as I sit here today, it's been a pretty curvy story, but I'm in a place now where, I'm grateful that I have the program. I'm grateful for the life that I have and what I'm doing. And I've now taken Al-Anon as not just something where I go to meetings when things are shitty. I've learned this is what even when things are good, that's when I have to keep coming back. Because if I don't, then things start getting shitty again. Because I've got this, all of these years of wiring of the things not to do right or things to do differently, and that's what I need to do is apply the principles of the program. That's what I got. Thanks.